of the book of James. But it's kind of different in that it's not talking about, till today, a lot about how to use your faith. It's more about the structure of faith, the things that can hinder faith, the things that has to do with the underlying part of our faith. Faith is the way you view your world that you live in. It's based on the Word of God. Most Christians do not have a biblical worldview. If you could, all you got to do is ask them some questions, what they believe about certain things, and it doesn't line up with the Bible. You know, there are people who believe that Jesus sinned. That's not a biblical worldview. Can I tell you something? If Jesus ever sinned one time, then you and I are not saved. Part of what he did had to do with a perfect life. The virgin birth, the perfect life, the substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. If none of those things occurred, you and I are not Christians, and Christianity is a farce. So there are Christians who do not have a biblical worldview, so therefore their faith, they don't have true faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing that is the important thing when it comes to faith. So there are things that will hinder our faith, our relationship to other people. How can I say that I love God whom I've never seen when I hate my brother who I have seen? I can't have power with God. I can't pray the kind of prayers that the Bible talks about if I have strife in my heart. So there's a whole lot of things that this covers. And if you haven't been here, you can go to our believerscommunity.org website. We have all of those messages archived. In fact, you can go back, how far, Joe? A year? Everything that we've done in the last year, if you can stand it, go back and watch all of those. But today we're going to talk about the prayer of faith. And I want to read some verses to you. And these are pretty powerful verses. These are really, really powerful verses. James 5:13, because this talks about the prayer of faith. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. There's different kinds of prayer. There's worship prayer. There's prayers of petition. There's prayers of surrender. But this is talking about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is the prayer that changes things, okay? The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord might raise him up. Is that what that says? It says he will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Somebody asked me one time, y'all don't pray for the sick at your church, do you? I'm saying, dude, sure we do. If you're not praying for the sick, you're not obeying the Great Commission. It's part of it, okay? Anyway, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We're going to come back to that statement in just a few minutes. I want to read some other scriptures, and we're going to come back to this because it gives the example of Elijah. Now, Elijah was the opposite of Honey. Honey drew a circle and prayed that it would rain. Elijah drew a circle and prayed that it would not rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and then it rained. So it uses him as an example. And this is something that is pretty extraordinary. But there's some pretty extraordinary scriptures when it comes to prayer. Now, we have the success of prayer in the body of Christ has been a mixed bag. Let's just get real. All of us have prayed prayers that didn't happen. We have prayed prayers that did happen, but we have prayed prayers that didn't happen. And if we're not careful, we will build a philosophy to try to explain away why it didn't happen, or we'll feel like we have to defend God or the Bible. And we really don't have to do that. We need to let the Bible say what it says. And we need to wrap our heart around what the Bible says. And we need to allow ourselves to grow in those things. Now, this prayer of faith, these verses are not aimed at unbelievers. See, unbelievers don't have faith. Unbelievers, many times, will reach out to God in desperation, and He, through grace and mercy, will reach out to them and do things for them. Even young Christians sometimes who are just discovering their faith, you'll see God just move in their lives. But see, something tends to happen to us as we are around the church and, you know, we become Christians and we, you know, you're real fervent on the front end and you're growing, but we kind of get sedentary sometimes. We kind of get in our rut. And we're not pursuing God like we did. And then that's where sometimes we get in the prayer struggle. And we don't see prayers answered like it says in the Bible. Can I read you a couple of just pretty awesome promises here? And this is not by some obscure religious figure. These are things that Jesus said. How many of you know if Jesus said it? That's it. If He said it, we should believe it. Now, here's some things that He said. There's a story in Mark, the 9th chapter, about a young man who was having seizures. And it was pretty severe. In fact, he was demonized. And this demon in him would just throw him on the ground, and he would seize and lose consciousness. And sometimes it would throw him in the fire. And just try to kill him. And they brought him to the disciples, and the disciples prayed and nothing happened. So later they bring him to Jesus, and they tell Jesus what happened, and He marveled at their unbelief. And He turns to this father of this child and He says, "Do you think that I can do this?" And the father says, "Lord, if you can do anything, please." Now notice how he phrased it. "If you can do anything." And Jesus come back at him and said, listen, Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now that's a pretty powerful statement. That's sometimes we struggle with that. How many things are possible? Is that what He said? Is there a limit to that? He said all things are possible to him who believes. And the guy says, "Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief." And He healed him. But that's a pretty powerful statement. Sometimes we spend more time trying to explain away why something didn't work. When I think what we need to do is to get into the Word and get it into us and consider some things. Okay, here's another one. Mark 11:23. Mark 11:22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." So we're talking about faith, right? "For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, Jesus pointed at a mountain. You got any mountains in your life? You ever face any mountains? You ever face any difficulties? Jesus said we could talk to mountains. Okay? Boy. He looks like he's painting himself in a box here. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now that's pretty powerful. That's pretty extraordinary promise. That's a promise that stretches us beyond the natural. It stretches us to the point where we can believe for the supernatural. We do encounter things that are bigger than we are. And Jesus addressed how to deal with those. It says in Matthew 7:7-8, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open." You know what? I've asked and didn't get. Have you? Does that make this of none effect? I don't think so. So maybe there's some things that we can do to strengthen ourselves where faith is concerned, where we can learn to get more of our prayers answered. Because I don't think that the problem is with God. And I don't think that we need to make excuses for the Word or for God. I think that we need maybe to change the way that we approach some things. So I want to give you some things here that I believe that will help you grow where the prayer of faith is concerned. And I believe that we all need to be praying the prayer of faith. I believe that God wants to do things in our lives that is bigger than we are. Do you believe that? I mean, there are things out there that need to be accomplished that's bigger than what we can do in the natural. But our God is not natural. He's supernatural. And He's looking for people that will dare to believe Him and dare to step out in those arenas. And I believe that all things are possible to him who believes. Okay? I want us to go back and look at three things that James says. He says, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. So here, I want to talk about those three things. Fervent, righteous, fervent, and effectual. So let's talk about righteous. What is a righteous man? Is a righteous man just a good man? Is a righteous man one who does more good than he does evil? What is a righteous man? That word righteous means right standing. How do I come into right standing with God? Is it by all the good things that I do? No. How do I become righteous with God? It's through what Christ has done. It's through God's provision of grace through faith. In the fact that Jesus came, He lived in the body, He lived a perfect life, He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, He died on the cross for our sins, and was raised for our justification. What happens when I accept Him? See, the Bible says that He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, because we sinned, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I could not make myself righteous, but He could when I accepted what He did. He gave me something called righteousness. He put me in a place of right standing with Him. So the first step in being able to pray effectively is to come to God from the standpoint that we are in right standing with Him. It's not a performance-based thing at all. Now, should we live good lives? Yes, I'm not talking about that. But you do not become righteous by doing good things. You become righteous by your faith in Christ, receiving Him into your life. He changes your heart. He gives you right standing with God. A man who is not in right standing with God will not be able to pray the prayer of faith. Unbelievers do not have faith. In fact, when you get saved, you are given the faith that you're saved on by God. It's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Faith is a gift. Grace is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. All of it's a gift. Now, it comes as you hear the word. You turn your heart towards God, but God gives you the faith to get saved on. Okay? So a person who does not know Christ does not have faith. They fall under a whole different category. But God expects us to take the faith that He gives us and to grow in our relationship with Him through that faith. And I've noticed a lot of young Christians, they don't know that they're not supposed to pray for big things. And I've seen some young baby Christians pray and see some phenomenal things happen. But as we grow and we get to know better, and we get a little sedentary in our relationship, we get to where we know it all, if we're not careful, it's more difficult for us to pray the way that we should. So, but it starts with being in right standing with God. The second thing is fervent. Fervent. Fever. Okay? The fervent prayer. Honey drew a circle and said, God, I'm not moving till you do something. Was that fervent? What if God didn't do something? He'd either lie or starve to death. Do we draw those kind of prayer circles? You say, well, isn't that audacious? Oh, is it? Was God offended at Honey's prayer? No, God honored his prayer. God is not offended when we ask impossible things. He's the God of the impossible. He's the God that's more than enough. See, part of it is that we don't know the potential of our God. We just know our own limitations. Well, thank God we're not limited to our limitations. We're limited to His limitations, and there are none. He says all things are possible to him who believes. Now, this is not traditional teaching. I understand that. But I quoted to you some astounding verses out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus. So fervency, first of all, comes out of our relationship with God. And here again, many Christians, you become a Christian for a while, you quit seeking, you quit knocking, you quit growing, you settle into a lifestyle, and you come very complacent. That is not what God has for us. If you did your marriage that way, you would probably be divorced. You know, the most fervent people that we have in this church might, you know, if you based everything on, well, I go to church. I love God, I go to church. Well, the most fervent people that we have might spend 6 or 7 hours a week here. Most, it's 1 hour and 15 minutes, 3 times a month, average. How many hours are there in a week? 168, 24 by 7? 168, where's my mathematicians at, my gurus? Is that right? That's not very much time. And if that's the only attention that you give God, if you gave your spouse that kind of attention, your marriage would be in trouble. I'm glad God is not like our spouse. Can I get an amen? Amen. But we wonder why we're powerless in prayer. We wonder why we don't see things happen. But we treat God as an afterthought. And the only time that we really pray is when we need something. See, fervency comes out of a relationship with God. Fervency comes out of spending time with God. This is why we've got you reading the Bible. This is why we've got you praying. This is why we've tried to get you to get on this right now and do Bible study. This is why we make all of this available to you, because you don't get enough here to maintain fervency. My job is to point you in the direction you need to go. My place is to try to lead you to the green grass, but you got to eat the green grass. We can't spoon feed you. You got to learn to be a self-feeder. Fervency comes out of our relationship with God. It comes out of our prayer life, our time in the Word, our time meditating on the things of God. You determine that. You determine your relationship with God. See, there's a principle. God says, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Well, what happens if we don't draw nigh? He doesn't draw nigh. See, you set the cadence. You can control the fervency. If God seems far away, guess who moved? It wasn't him. It was thee. So fervency comes out of a relationship with God. And number two, it's a love relationship. It comes out of our love for God. It's not out of duty. It's out of love. It comes out of our love relationship with Him. That's what we need to be growing in. We need to be growing in the love of God. That will keep us fervent in the things of God. And then the third thing is obedience. See, here's what happens as you begin to spend time with God. He begins to talk to you. We don't need to do all the talking. Sometimes we need to hush and listen. And He'll talk to you. And when He talks to you, you know what you need to do? You need to obey what He says. You need to listen. You need to obey. At the end of most services here, I ask you, what did the Holy Spirit say to you today? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to ignore Him? If you ignore the Holy Spirit, it'll come to the point that He won't talk to you till you repent. Why should He give you further instruction when you haven't obeyed what He said? He's not mad at you. You didn't lose your salvation. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Part of it has to do, because this obedience, it's an amazing thing. When God speaks to you to do something and you do it, it is amazing what it does in your spirit. I remember the young lady that we gave money to on our trip one time, that God spoke to one of us. I said something about we need to sow a significant seed as a tip. And that young lady had been in an abusive relationship, and her husband had beat her and broke her neck. And she was living with her parents and supporting her children and trying to get back on her feet. And God spoke to us to do something significant, and we gave her a $100 tip. And you know the thing is, when we did that, I mean, she squalled and bawled and hugged her neck, but we were, it just did something to us guys that were involved in that. It just made you want to be used by God. That's part of the fervency. See, fervency comes out of our relationship with God. It comes out of our love for God, developing love, and then obeying what God says. Because He'll bring you in a place that you just can't wait for Him to tell you something else to do. It's such a blessing to you. And you get more out of it than the person that you helped. So we have the righteous, the fervent, and then there's the effectual prayer. We need to know how to pray. Now, the first thing that we need to know is that we need to learn to pray. Now, this is good. This is very simple, but it's very good. Because I can hear a lot of the way people pray. Oh God, I can't pay my bills. Oh God, I need your help. Oh God, can't you see what I'm going through? That is not prayer, and that's not the prayer of faith. That's just complaining out loud. Telling God the problem. You're telling him something that he already knows. And you think you're praying and you're not praying, you're belly aching. It didn't say the fervent, effectual prayer of belly aching avails much. Can I get a witness? Have you ever been there? Haven't we all done that? Oh God, what am I going to do? No. We need to learn to pray the Word. You'll never get in trouble by praying the Word. But that means you're going to have to spend some time in there. You're going to have to find some promises. You're going to have to find some things to pray. Okay? Pray the Word. There's a verse in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 14. Now this is the confidence, say confidence. See, a lot of people don't pray with confidence, that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know, He hears us. See, this is not praying in the dark, hoping that He hears us. Okay? This is confidence, His will. We know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. There's only one way that this can happen. Pray the Word. Father, Your Word says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the prayer I prayed every day to overcome inferiority. I knew that He heard my prayer because I prayed His Word. It took a while, but I prayed that Word and prayed that Word and prayed that Word. And you grow in that confidence because when you pray His promises, we know that He's going to answer it. Now, if you pray wrong things, He's not answering it. You have not because you ask not. You ask and have not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. That's a whole different ball game. But when you pray the Word, you pray the will of God. The Word of God and the will of God are the same. Okay. So the second thing is always pray and use the name of Jesus. John 14, 13. And whatever you ask in my name, this is Jesus talking, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When you ask in His name and He does the work, it brings glory to the Son. It glorifies God when our prayers are answered. We need to know that. But He said, do what? You ask in my name. Ask in my name. We're learning to pray effectual. Pray the Word. Pray in Jesus' name. The third element of this prayer is the Holy Spirit. Now this is something that most Christians are afraid of. They are afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that weird part of God. If I get involved with the Holy Spirit, He may make me say stuff I don't know what I'm saying. He may make me do weird things. The Holy Spirit don't make you do weird things. The Holy Spirit don't make you do things that you don't want to do. But we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've had a relationship with the Holy Spirit for over 40 years. Okay? He's never made me do anything that I didn't let Him do. Okay? But there's a verse here that is so neat. And this is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. And this is in John 16, 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth. What's the Holy Spirit about? He's about truth. Is truth the will of God? Okay. When he has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, in your prayer life, out of your relationship with the Holy Spirit, as you are praying the Word of God, as you are using the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit can speak to you specifically how to pray about certain things, people, places, and circumstances. See, this is not just generic stuff. This is when, out of your relationship with the Holy Spirit, as you spend time with God and you start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, he may say, do not pray for that. There may be some things that you cannot see, and he'll say, do not pray for that. Do not pray for that person that way. Pray this way. See, the Holy Spirit sees things to come. He can show us things to come. He can lead us into truth where things are concerned. But you know, a lot of times we just throw a prayer out there and say, well, God didn't answer it. Maybe we didn't effectually pray. Maybe there's some areas of this prayer of faith thing that we need to grow in. See, I think sometimes we pray too fast. I think sometimes we just need to immerse ourselves in the promises of God and allow the Holy Spirit to marinate that in our heart. And out of that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he will show us exactly what the truth in this matter is and how we need to address it in prayer. And when we do that, we can pray the prayer of faith and see God work. I think God desires to answer prayer. But he said, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. If Elijah can pray and it not rain for 3 years and 6 months and then pray again and it rains, that's pretty phenomenal. Can we pray prayers in our circumstances of life and see God move in our life? I think so. No, let me say that again. I think so. I know so. He wants to do that. But it needs to come out of fervency, out of our relationship with him. Effectual. Knowing how to pray as we ought. And when we don't know how to pray as we ought, we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. And out of our right standing with God. We're not trying to merit something. We're not trying to earn something. We're not trying to bargain with God. God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. That don't work. Well, I did that one time. That is not the way to pray effectually. There's some things that we need to learn. Hey, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time for Christians that have been Christians for 5, 10, 15 years to grow up. Hey, let's do that. God wants to do something significant. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. I want to be right smack dab in the middle of what God's doing. I'm old. Not really. I've got a lot left in me. I've not reached my peak yet. I want to peak and burn and go, and I want to be right in the flow of what God's doing. I want to see him build a church here that'll shake this town. And I know he wants to use you as a part of that. He didn't want you to just sit there and be a spectator. He wants you to go out of this place and be the church. And if you'll pray in fellowship with God, he'll show you how that looks in your life. Faith is not a cookie cutter thing. Remember, it's talking about God's not making cookies all looking the same. It is diverse. That's why we have to have that relationship with God. All right. I'm going to ask you a question. What did the Holy Spirit say to you today? Some things came through my voice. There's some other things that I said that the Holy Spirit took and said some other things to you. It's important that you deal with what the Holy Spirit says to you today. He may have said, cut this off in your life. Go in this direction. I don't know what he said. It's not my job to know what he said. It's your job, and it's your job to obey what he says. So I want to pray for you today. I've been long-winded today. It's 12:13. Is that okay? We're not going to beat the Baptist to Western sizzling. We don't have Western sizzling anymore. Oh, it's close. We're not going to beat them anywhere today. But that's okay. Just some things. I try not to go this long, but sometimes it happens. But I think we're in a very serious time, church. I think we're in a very important part of where we are as a church. And I think it's time for some of us, me included, to take on some responsibility for our spiritual growth. I got some areas I need to grow in. Do you? So I want to do that. So let me pray for you. And maybe God will do something for me. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the ability to share your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, that without his ability, it would mean nothing. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this church. We want to see you do a great work in your people. And Lord, I know that you've spoken to each and every person here today. God, grant us the courage to hear and obey what you say. And Lord, do something large. Do something large in all of us. Do something large with your church. Bless your people today. Thank you for courage to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.